But now I want to get started with a couple of stories that may be a little, well, let's just say macabre. Did you hear this week, I think it was either this week or last week, there was a Nebraska woman who was pronounced dead. She was brought to a funeral home and she was found not to be dead. And this week, there were 80 families or so who are bringing lawsuits in central Illinois against a funeral home because they say the ashes that they got from their loved ones were really not the ashes of their loved ones. And so I decided to talk about this in terms and get on, you know, probably the best guy in Chicago to talk about it. John Maher is a Chicago attorney, and he's also a funeral home proprietor. Welcome to the show, John. How are you?
Hey, Karen. Thanks so much for having me, and I'm doing really well on this Sunday afternoon.
I want to brag on you just a little bit. Not only is John a fantastic lawyer, he's an estate planning lawyer as well. He owns a beautiful funeral home in Tinley Park, which was the old library. It's just a beautiful place where his offices are. And you also, you started your career as an active duty Army officer. You prosecuted in Germany. You defended soldiers and criminal appeals. You have not only a law degree, a master's in law, and a master's from the Army War College. You're a lieutenant colonel in the Army JAG, and you served two tours in Afghanistan and one in the Balkans. You have been busy, and you have been an accomplished human being and attorney, and I really appreciate you being here today, John.
Well, thank you, Karen. That's awfully gracious and generous of you, and equally generous and gracious was when you came out for your book signing here to John N. Maher Funeral Services and Legal Services in Tinley Park. So I'm very glad you were here to not only meet our fans of yours, but interested readers, but also listeners, and you were able to eyeball our facility firsthand, too.
Thank yeah, it so was just a nice event, and we were able to talk a little bit about the death penalty, a little bit about my book, and it was just a really nice. We had a lot of WGN fans that came out for that event, and I appreciate that. So let's talk about these stories first, and then maybe we can get into some estate planning issues, and maybe my listeners will have some questions about powers of attorney and wills and trusts and things like that, because you're an expert in that field. So let's start with this case of this Nebraska woman who was pronounced dead. Now, she's pronounced dead, and then she goes to the funeral home, and she's now not dead. Have you seen these kinds of things before? And if so, John, how does this happen? How does something like this happen?
Well, first and foremost, I'm very happy to report I've not seen anything like that firsthand. We've been in the funeral business here in Tinley Park for about 10 years, and thankfully that issue has not presented. You have heard horror stories in the past about how an embalmer might receive a deceased and the person all of a sudden coughs, or the person opens their eyes, and you'd think that's hocus-pocus or contrivances, but it's not. The case in Lincoln, Nebraska is just heartbreaking. How does it happen, Karen? Well, there's a couple of things at issue there. The dynamics and the atmospherics might be that the pronouncing physician at the hospital was clearly negligent, and that's something that has to be proved. You can't really pronounce a person dead when they're not. Now, again, I'm not a medical doctor or I'm a lay person when it comes to those things, but it seems to me that when you affix MD after your name and you have a license to practice medicine in Nebraska and or any of our states, that you should be able, a reasonable physician under the same or similar circumstances, would have been able to accurately assess whether or not the person was dead. Now, from what I understand, having read the open source media on the case, because it's very of interest because it combines law and funeral, as we do here at John Maher Funeral Services in Tinley Park, is when the funeral director and embalmer noticed that the person was still breathing, they called 911, which is the right thing to do. So it doesn't seem like the funeral proprietor and or any of the staff of the professionals in Lincoln, Nebraska, that they were negligent. It seems like they did the right thing under the circumstances, not only what their training informs them to do, but also what a good person would do. 911 called, but then the woman expired or passed away shortly thereafter. So as you can imagine, the woman herself probably, from what I understand, wasn't even that conscious. So she herself may not have been damaged, and damaged in the sense of the law. But her next of kin, her loved ones, her friends, her family, her neighbors, her former colleagues and co-workers, all of them were probably under some sort of strain or compromise at the loss of their loved one to begin with. Then when they find out that she's not alive, strike that she's not dead, but she's alive, and then she passes away again, you could see how that emotional turmoil that probably exists
anyway, right.
Normally,
yeah, right.
Under regular circumstances, was completely exacerbated.
Well, and John, what about the argument? And, you know, I don't know if there is an argument legally. We think about these things in terms of the law, and we try to break it down. And if it sounds cold, I apologize for that. But could it be that maybe she was, you know, she wasn't deceased, and that could they have revived her to the point where she could have been conscious and she could have lived longer had she not been put into a funeral home? I mean, could she have been given medical care to prolong her life? I mean, we don't know that.
Karen, that if you and I were co-counseling the case or leading the investigation or advising the investigators, those are the things we probably would advise to do, to ask those questions and not just accept the answers, but drill down to ensure that you've corroborated the answers. Because as you mentioned there, if this woman could have been saved, then there's a whole different analysis then in terms of who was negligent, grossly negligent, who committed medical malpractice or not, whether the hospital is vicariously liable for the acts of the individual physician, whether the physician was belonging to a physician's group that might be an independent contractor of the hospital, which happens. And I have to say, when it boils right down to it, what about just being good conscious to say, oh my God, I really messed up here, and take corrective action immediately to fix the situation.
Absolutely.
Those
John,
apparently didn't happen.
Let's take a break here. We're talking to John Maher. He's an attorney here in Chicago. He does estate planning, and he's a proprietor of Funeral Home in Tinley Park. And when we come back, I want to talk about this other case that was in the news. It's strange that we have two cases involving these kinds of issues, but it's the case of family members who were given the wrong ashes or ashes that did not belong to their family members. You're listening to WGN, and I'm Karen Conti. Welcome back. We're talking to attorney John Maher, who also owns a funeral home in Tinley Park. And we're talking about this lawsuit or class action suit, I believe, coming out of Central Illinois. John, could you briefly describe this, what happened here and what the allegations are against this funeral home? We don't need to mention the funeral home name. I just want to hear generally what the allegations are.
Yes, ma'am. I'm happy to report on that over 80 families apparently have either received the wrong cremains, have either had another person buried in the cremains mausoleum, called it an inurnment, and those families were the victims, what I believe the legal papers say, which is gross negligence, malpractice, and the funeral home proprietor had his license revoked by the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation for, and I'm reading from the actual text here, be based on vital records noncompliance, professional incompetence, and untrustworthiness in the funeral practice, taking undue advantage of clients amounting to perpetration of fraud, performing any act or practice that violates funeral regulations, unprofessional conduct, and charging for professional services not rendered. And those cases are ongoing right now in a funeral business that has been around for 160 years. Wow. In Central Illinois.
So, you know, we see these cases and, you know, just I don't want to really get into the gross details of this. But, John, how does something like this happen? I mean, what is the funeral home doing? They're just not paying attention to this and they think people aren't going to notice that these mistakes are being made. Is that what's going on?
I think it's more than that, Karen. I think it's more than simple negligence. For example, it's. If you have two bodies in the funeral home, you always make sure that those bodies are marked with a toe tag, a wristband, with a note, with the body bag, with anything that contains the deceased. You always clearly mark them. And for this funeral home not to do that, or what the evidence might bear out, did it, but did it sloppily, and to such a breadth and depth, the degree
and
the ongoing amount of time here,
yeah.
It's more than just negligence. It's got to be willful, some sort of willfulness and intentional recklessness to actually call people up and say, listen, I'm going to embalm your mom. She's waiting for the doctor to sign the death certificate, but your mom is still here, and then we're going to cremate her, or I'll pay for your gas, you know, because it's taking so long for the doctor to sign the death certificate. Those things, to me, are deliberate prevarications and liberties with the truth that just have no place when you have such a position of trust and respect to care for someone's loved one whom is literally on their back.
Well, and
an honor for someone to call you
right
when someone passes.
Well,
sorry, Karen, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, and I think too, just the idea that these people are in grief to begin with. You know, I don't care how old or young someone is. Someone dies in your family, there's a grieving process. I want to read a quick text, Ms. Conti, in relation to your story about the woman who was pronounced dead. We talked about the Nebraska woman who was pronounced dead, but then was found to be alive in the funeral home. My great-grandmother, who was a Sicilian woman, was pronounced dead in 1927. As was done in those days before embalming, she was lying in state in her front room. She woke up and said in Italian, "What the you-know-what is going on here?" She went to live another 20 years and made everybody miserable. Bless her Sicilian heart. I hope that's a true story. And if it isn't, I like it anyway. So,
well, you know, Karen, I think it's medieval times, or I forget which actual age it was, where sometimes people were buried with the bubonic plague and those kinds of things with an actual, like, handle that they could pull if they woke up in their casket buried that would signal people up on the top of the ground. So I thought we were past all of that, but apparently not.
Maybe everyone should be given a cell phone in their casket. Maybe that's the solution, because everyone should have a cell phone anyway into eternity.
I don't know if there's reception down there, but in any event.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's run through a bunch of issues that I have seen in my practice. People have asked me these questions, and they're not funny, but I mean, I hear about families fighting about, I want to cremate Dad. I want to have a full-blown funeral with a Catholic service and a wake, and the families are fighting, and maybe there's nothing in the will or the trust. Tell me what the law dictates as far as how those decisions are made if there's a dispute within the family.
And Karen, you're right. It happens more times than I think a lot of people realize, especially when someone has lost mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, very close, a sibling. Families tend to remember everything that happened in their lives. So they're going to bring things up from 25 years ago that mom wouldn't want this or dad didn't like that. The law says if someone has not signed the agency for the disposition of remains, that's essentially a power of attorney to dispose of your body and to make final funeral arrangements for you. A power of attorney, as you know, Karen, is something where you appoint an agent to act in your shoes to carry out certain tasks. And that power of attorney is going to expire, quite frankly, when you do. So that power of attorney no longer governs who can take care of the body unless and until that person has signed an agency, appointing an agent to make these decisions. In the absence of that agency, that power of attorney for the disposition of remains, which is an Illinois statute, then the next of kin has the legal authority. The next of kin, as you know, basically tracks the Illinois probate code. And the Illinois probate code under intestacy says if you're married, your spouse will make the decision. If you're not married, then your next of kin may be your child or your children. But the problem is, if you have children, they could start arguing.
Exactly.
Because you haven't made your intentions clear. One way to do that is not only to sign an agency, but to create your estate plan. And your estate plan will be comprised not only of a will, a power of attorney for finances, a power of attorney for medical decisions, the agency for the disposition of remains, but also you may have a trust in there or a transfer on death instrument to take care of your residence if and when you pass, and then the home passes to your spouse if you owned it in joint tenancy. The transfer on death instrument then picks up and recreates the right of survivorship in whomever you name. So all of that to say, the conflicts and the emotional challenges that do present themselves quite often can be completely eliminated with a little bit of planning ahead of time on a topic that admittedly a lot of people don't want to talk about.
They don't.
But like you mentioned, it is inevitable, like death and taxes.
So
with a little bit of planning, you can alleviate the suffering that your family's already going through at your loss by saying, Mom made her wishes clear.
Absolutely.
Dad made his wishes clear. And not only does that touch upon estate planning documents, but also pre-need funerals.
So before we go into that, I want to switch topics a little bit because I want to hit up on these bullet points as quickly as we can.
Sure.
I had this issue arise three times in my career, and it's you know, divorced spouses, the divorced spouse wants to come to the funeral, and the new spouse says, no, you're not coming to the funeral. What is the law about barring people from funerals, from the church services, from the cemetery? Tell me what the law is on that.
The law is the next of kin can, just as if you were hosting in 1927 a Sicilian family member in your living room, you can bar anybody from your home or admit anybody from your home. The funeral home is called a home or a funeral parlor just because of the evolution of use. We used to wake people in our living rooms. So the same law applies that the next of kin, who's the decision maker, or that person appointed as the agent for the disposition of remains manually handling the funeral arrangements, that person can say the following people are not welcome. You alert the funeral home staff, and sometimes we could reach out ahead of time, but at the same time, we're very polite about it, and it does happen from time to time. We have to honor the next of kin's wishes by law.
John, let me, sorry this went way too fast. You're going to have to come back on again. I have to hit my break, but John Maher, tell people how they can get in touch with you very quickly.
Well, thank you, Carrie. Now, John Maher, Legal and Funeral Services, Tinley Park, Illinois, area code 708-781-9212. You can reach us on the internet at john@maherlegalservices.com or visit us at www.maherfuneralservices.com. And we do believe, Karen, that we're the only funeral home in the southwest portion of Chicagoland that has both a law firm, a funeral operation, and a church with under one roof.